Chris Nishi is with us, our Australia correspondent today. Chris, what are we learning about Hillsong? The story's been dragging on for a while, but are we getting to some kind of business end, shall we say?
Well, I guess yes, we are in a way. We heard recently from an Australian independent MP, Tasmanian MP, Andrew Wilkie, who used parliamentary privilege to make a wide range of allegations against Hillsong, mainly about their financial dealings. He said that the evangelical church had actually earned $80 million more than it had publicly reported or declared. He said that the church and its leaders indulged in, and this is a quote, the kind of shopping that would embarrass a Kardashian. And this included, for instance, $150,000 for Hillsong founder Brian Houston and his family and their friends to spend time at a luxury resort in Cancun in Mexico when the rest of Australia was under lockdown. He said Brian Houston used private jets like they were in Uber. They spent $82,000 on meals, $171,000 on gifts. Meanwhile, their pastoral care budget was significantly smaller, $2,900, and their budget for pastoral care, or their spending for pastoral care visitations, was $1,500. So perhaps gives you an idea, if these figures are true, of where their priorities lie. They also paid a lot of celebrity songwriters who they had on payroll. They classified them as pastors, so they were able to receive part of their pay tax-free. The church has said that these documents were taken out of context and were supplied by a disgruntled former employee of the church who's taking legal action against it. Nonetheless, the church has said that it is conducting a forensic audit of its finances, which it actually commissioned last August, and the Australian Charities and Not-for-Profits Commission is also investigating the church. So, yes, I think it's really going to come under the microscope now from regulators, tax authorities, and so on, and we will just see what happens with it. This, of course, follows Brian Houston resigning from the church last year after he allegedly sought to cover up his father's alleged abuse of a young boy. The current pastor, Phil Dooley, had a message for the MP, Andrew Wilkie, and that was, "Jesus loves you."
Let's talk about concussion, because in many football codes, this is growing as an issue, and indeed action is being taken in rugby union in the Northern Hemisphere, with some New Zealand rugby union players part of it. What is happening with league?
Well, with rugby league, the rugby league has instituted a mandatory 11-day stand down for any player who suffers a concussion. And they've also taken the decision out of the hands of the club and the club doctors. It has to be a decision from the independent doctor, an independent concussion expert. So it's a big change from the days when, you know, we all sort of told or heard stories of legendary players who suffered a knock or had some sort of terrible injury but played on. Now that decision's being taken out of their hands. What's really put it in the spotlight in Australia, though, is a legal action being taken by 60 former players of the AFL, that's Aussie Rules, who are each seeking $2 million in damages plus medical expenses. And they are alleging that the AFL, which runs the Australian Football League, knew of the dangers of concussion and yet didn't take sufficient steps to protect their players, essentially their employees. So in this case, we in the documents, we hear from a player called Max Rourke, who was a famous player. Apparently, I'm from New South Wales, so we don't really follow AFL, but played 135 games for Geelong and was known as being a really hard player. His career finished in 2011, and he's not been able to hold down a job since then. He has suffered constant physical and mental pain and is suffering a lifelong impairment, his lawyers say. And so he's the lead plaintiff. He's a sort of example of the sort of cases that the other 59 and likely many, many more will be running against the AFL. And it's possibly a first case, and we will probably see similar cases in other against other football codes
as well. It's gathering momentum, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just a couple of minutes left, Chris. We've all seen the images, and it is just astonishing, this wall of dead fish. What more do we know? It's tens of kilometres along.
Oh, it's just shocking. So along the Darling River in western New South Wales, and it's as if the river, as you said, is carpeted with dead fish. Those fish now, as you'd expect, are now rotting, particularly after a hot weekend where temperatures rose above 40 degrees. The stench, thankfully the stench doesn't show through in the pictures, the stench is unbelievable, people say. It's just really quite disgusting and putrid. So there are efforts to clean this up. The water is being tested. It's not used as drinking water, but some towns use it for things like showers and washing up and so on. So that's being tested. Authorities at this stage are saying the water is safe. It certainly doesn't sound very appetizing. And there's actually a climate change link to this too, because what happened was the floods in January pushed a lot of nutrients and organic matter into the river. Those, that all ate up oxygen and used up all the oxygen in the river. And then quickly we had a dry spell very quickly after that, which meant that the fish could not get enough oxygen, these bony brim, which is the main species affected. And so essentially they just suffocated in the water. And the climate change angle is that the extremes of climate are coming much more close together. You know, flood very quickly followed by a dry spell. And that's what caused this this extraordinary event.
Chris, thank you. Chris Nishi is our Australia correspondent today.